to bind up the brokenhearted. As we unwrap the true meaning of Christmas, this is a gift that you can rejoice in. God's promises given to Isaiah are fulfilled in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So today, let's unwrap bandages, reminding us that God has come to live with us, being with us in our hurting places, bringing hope and healing. To bind up the brokenhearted. When I heard these biblical words, I was immediately reminded of an event from last summer. It was one of those, how could you be so stupid, Marilyn, moments. I was draining boiling water from lasagna noodles and trying to protect our new sink at the cottage, whose instructions were to prevent cracks, run cold water into sink while pouring hot water down drain. The pan in my hand began slipping, and there it was, boiling hot water splashing onto my arm. The sink was saved. I was not. A second-degree burn developed, and for a week I babied that burn until the day I noticed it had changed into a very strange color. It was obvious. I needed to get to the urgent care center immediately. And thus began a month of binding up the wound on my arm. Oral antibiotics and two different antibiotic creams had to be used four times a day. The tone of the doctor's voice when he said, infected burns are very serious, convinced me that I had to be serious about caring for this problem. Being right-handed and wrapping gauze all the way around my right arm with my left hand while making sure the ointment and the padding all stayed in place was a challenge way too big for me. So my husband, Paul, was called to duty. Four times a day for an entire month, Paul faithfully bound up my wound until it healed. And I was reminded of God's promise made through Isaiah as the Israelites lived in exile. God is faithful. God will lovingly bind up your broken hearts until you experience healing. There is great hope, for God has heard your pleas and prayers. God has recognized your suffering and your sadness. Here is good news. I will bind up the brokenhearted. Your home and your beloved community of Zion will be restored. Your temple, the holy place where you worship the Lord, will be restored. You will be known as people whom the Lord has blessed. This was God's promise to those who still felt isolated, who felt imprisoned by their circumstances, who lived with grief. There is hope. You will experience joy in your soul. Christmas is clearly on its way, with all the bright lights and beautifully wrapped gifts, with smiles and greetings everywhere you go. Anyone can celebrate this holiday. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to enjoy family love and special dinners and time around a Christmas tree. However, when we unwrap the meaning of Christmas, then we see that the sweet songs about a baby born in a manger are also songs leading us to a man grown into the one not only willing to faithfully bind up our wounds, but also to take our suffering unto himself all the way to the cross. There is more to Christmas than holiday traditions. At the very beginning of his 3 years of ministry, Jesus went on the Sabbath day to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. The scroll of Isaiah was given to him to read. As he unrolled it, he found this place, the scripture that was read to us this day. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Those listening in the synagogue couldn't believe their ears. Did this son of a carpenter, our neighbor in Nazareth, really claim he was the fulfillment of God's promises? That was a dangerous path for Jesus to take. He claimed to be the anointed one. And the word used for that one was Christ. As the listeners thought about Jesus' claim that the scripture was now fulfilled in him, they became enraged and drove him out of town. As we consider these claims of Jesus, we are challenged to continue to unwrap the true meaning of Christmas. Isaiah's words were first spoken as promises to people who had been driven into exile. To the Israelites, the community of Zion was extremely important. The people of Israel didn't live as individuals in isolation, but rather as people who depended upon one another. The community was God's gift to them. The community nurtured their faith in the one living God. They lived differently than the nations that surrounded them. All their laws about what to eat and how to worship reassured each other that they were together, united with hope. But the exile tore that assurance apart. How, they wondered, can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? In Psalm 137, we read, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. Our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, 'Sing us one of the songs of Zion.' How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" The Israelites longed for their community, because when they were together to worship the Lord, then they received the encouragement to help each other, to support each other, to pray for each other. Together, they were able to nurture one another's faith, the faith in the one God who would not let them down. The very same is true for us. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, those who are emotionally needy. And God gave us an amazing gift through Jesus' birth. Jesus gave us the community we call church. To unwrap this gift of church during the Christmas season is to recognize how being together encourages us and increases our faith. Being together gives us opportunities to pray for one another. Being together makes us aware of hurts in the lives of those around us. Another preacher stated that these biblical words about the brokenhearted constantly replayed in his mind like a broken record. Why? Because he said there are broken hearts all around us. The broken heart of the young man whose dreams were shattered, and the broken hearts of his parents when he hanged himself. The heartbroken couple whose love and bright hopes faded into an undreamed of divorce. The mother whose heart was broken by a child who will no longer speak to her. The broken heart seen in a neighbor's angry and sullen behavior. The still scarred heart from the decline and death of a devoted wife. Each of us has seen someone with a broken heart, someone who is lonely and depressed, someone dealing with illness and disease, someone struggling with problems in their family, someone who is grieving the loss of a loved one, someone who is anxious about the future. Yes, each of us has seen someone with a broken heart, and that someone may be us. Once again, we read the assurance in Scripture. In the Psalms, we hear, God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Jesus reaffirmed these words, and he, walking the earth just like you and me, demonstrated God's power to heal when Jesus made the blind man see, when he encouraged the one who was paralyzed to get up and walk, when he healed the woman suffering from hemorrhage through his attention and love. Again and again, Jesus healed, and not simply healing the body, but healing the soul and spirit in such a way that the result was joy. After a month of having Paul faithfully bind up my burned arm, it healed and we gave thanks. I do, however, have a long red scar where that burn once was. When our hearts are broken and healing comes, we are no longer the same as we were before. Wounds do leave scars, but they are victorious relics to the fact that healing has come. Nearly 10 years ago, I had knee replacement surgery, but the wound became infected, and that led to 4 more surgeries in a week and a half. Each surgery required making a longer, more irregular incision. The great news is it all worked out as planned, and my knee healed completely. I recall being in the doctor's office looking at this very long, uneven scar and saying to him, "Isn't this beautiful?" Being a proud doctor and using his skills well, he said, "No, it certainly was not." But to me, this scar was a sign of victory over bacteria that had intended to do me in. I knew I had won that battle, and the scar is a reminder of something that was broken being made whole again. Jesus gave us the gift of church, not only as a community present to bind up our wounds when we are hurting, but also so that you and I can be co-workers with Christ in binding up the broken hearts of others. We have gifts to give each other through prayer and friendship and simply being attentive to opportunities God presents so that we can make a difference in another's life. The great Baptist preacher, Tony Campolo, always has touching stories to tell. One of his was from the time he was a guest preacher, and the elders of the church invited him to kneel as they prayed for the Holy Spirit to touch his heart. As the elders prayed, suddenly the prayer seemed to Campolo to take a very strange turn. They were praying not for Tony, but about a man named Charlie Stoltzfus. The prayer went on and on and on as they called out, "Lord, Lord, don't let that man leave his wife and children. Send an angel to him and bring him back to his family. Don't let that family be destroyed. You know who I am talking about, Lord, Charlie Stoltzfus. He lives down the road about half a mile on the right-hand side in a silver house trailer." Campolo began to feel exasperation at the direction of this prayer as he thought, "God knows where he lives. What do you think God's doing sitting up there in heaven saying, 'Give me that address again?'" Campolo was glad when the prayer finally ended and he was ready to preach. When the service was over, Campolo headed home. He saw a young man hitchhiking on the side of the road, a man looking broken down and depressed. Campolo decided to pick him up. "Hi, my name's Tony," he said. The young man said, "My name's Charlie Stoltzfus." Campolo looked at him with surprise, got off at the next exit, and turned around and headed back. The man says, "Hey, where are you taking me?" "I'm taking you home." "Why?" Charlie said. "Well, because you just left your wife and 3 children, right?" And Charlie answered, "Yeah, right." So Campolo drove onto a side road straight to this silver house trailer. When he pulled into the drive, Charlie Stoltzfus looked at him with astonishment and said, "How did you know I lived here?" "God told me. Now you get into the house because I want to talk to you and your wife. God can heal your broken hearts." Years later, Charlie Stoltzfus became a preacher. But most importantly, his broken family was put back together again. God is faithful. God will continue to bind up wounds until they are fully healed. God revealed this truth in the birth of his son Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of all prophecy. God does not leave us suffer alone. Jesus gave us the community we call church. Being together encourages us, nurtures us, helps us to grow. Being together provides us with opportunities to be attentive to each other's needs. When Jesus healed the woman with the hemorrhage, it was because he was attentive to her touch, the touch of his robe, even in the midst of a crowd. We become gifts to one another as we too become attentive to the needs of those around us, those we know well and those we have not yet met. On this third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy, may you feel the joy of knowing the true meaning of Christmas, the reassurance that there are those around you whom God has provided to bind up your wounds, and that you are able to be a blessing from God as you are used to be an answer to the prayers of another. Amen.